Well, just looking back over this past week and the data that's come out from the US, there's not really been a great deal of it, but most of it is slightly on the softer side. So it's pointing to US economic activity coming back, but nowhere near enough yet for the Fed to be comfortable that it's going to hit its inflation target anytime soon. So some of the indicators last week, we had some of the leading indicators in the manufacturing sector. These are typically the softer ones. We had one quirky one, which was the New York State's manufacturing PMI, and that one actually lifted to plus 10.8 from minus 24.6. So it appears to have been something quirky going on there. But the Philadelphia Fed survey, that got a lot weaker. So in April, that went down to minus 31.3 from minus 23.2. And some of the housing indicators came out last week. These were strong going back to February. If anything, there's been a bit of a revival through US housing. They all showed some signs of weakening in March, but they really didn't fall enough to offset quite big gains going back to February. So, for example, we had March home building permits. They fell by 8.8%, but that was after a 15.8% increase the month before. And similarly, housing starts, they were down by 0.8%, but again, following a 7.3% increase the month before, and existing home sales for the month of March, down 2.4%, but after a rise of 13.8% the month before, so it's hardly a weakening in that sense. Where there's just a little bit of hope is in the weekly initial jobless claims. One of the problems we've got in the United States is that core or underlying inflation is proving to be very, very sticky. Whilst headline annual inflation is starting to come down quite sharply, core inflation is actually holding up. And what looks like supporting that is a tight labour market with wage pressure coming from that. With the unemployment rate down at 3.5%, that's more than low enough to keep wage claims going. So we're looking for signs of softness in the labour market. And one of the key leading indicators there is people claiming benefits. And so the initial jobless claims, we had been down below 200,000 on a weekly basis. It's gone up over the last few weeks, and it's now in the mid-200,000s. So for the most recent week, we're at 245,000, up from 240,000 the week before. That's still not unduly weak in terms of pointing to softness running through employment, but it is just starting to head in the right direction. And to put this into some sort of context, what do we need from this? Well, things like non-farm payrolls, which have been just motoring along at over 200,000, between 200,000 and 300,000 a month, they have to average around about 30,000 a month for a few months before the Fed can really rest on its laurels. And you need to see the unemployment rate currently down at 3.5%. Getting north of 4%, that's the sort of indicators we need out of the labour market to be able to say with any confidence that the Fed can get the inflation rate back to 2% its target, and it's just not there yet at the moment. So, just watching some of these indicators from that sort of perspective. This week in the US, we get things like consumer confidence comes out, both consumer confidence and consumer sentiment, the two different surveys there. This has been stabilizing, if anything, over the last few months, and April consumer confidence comes out on Tuesday, expecting that to stay around about 100, it was 104.2, going back to the month of March, probably still around 104. And April Michigan consumer sentiment, it's the final collection of readings in that monthly survey. It was at 63.5, which was a lift from the previous month. In the early readings, expect it to stay around that 63.5. We've also got Q1 GDP coming out for the US on Thursday. And Q1 GDP at this stage, still not unduly weak. It was at 2.6% annualized going back to Q4 last year. It's expected to come in for this first reading of Q1 GDP at around 2% annualized. If it was much softer than that, it might get people excited about the Fed having a bit more leeway, but probably not much weaker than that, we think, at this stage. We also get some new home sales data. That still looks pretty firm, so that comes out on Tuesday. Looking for that to rise about 1.1% after being up 1.1% the month before. And we'll be watching those initial jobless claims. We think they may get up to about 250,000, 245,000 for the previous month. And on Friday, another inflation reading, which is important for the Fed, and that's the personal consumption expenditure deflator. You know, we get focused on the CPI and the underlying CPI. That's not really what the Fed is looking at when it's looking at inflation. It looks at the personal consumption deflators. Why does it do that? The reason is that the deflators reflect exactly how people are spending their money at the moment. So when prices go up, you know, people have the option of switching to cheaper goods. And the personal consumption expenditure deflators will pick up this change. You don't get it picked up in the CPI until they do reweightings. Reweightings tend to come every 5 or 6 years, so it's sort of a long time before you get that sort of activity picked up there. So the PCE is something of a more important indicator for the Fed. And on Friday, that's expected to show a rise of 0.3%, same as the month before. That would just very slowly drift the annual rate down to 4.5 from 4.6. It's just not coming down anywhere near quick enough. And so that's where the Fed still has a bit of work to do, just in terms of what it has to do with monetary policy. Next monetary policy meeting, as far as the US is concerned, first week of May. So be waiting to see what happens with the Fed next time, remembering that their funds rate's already at 5%, so it's a pretty high rate. It probably still has to go up a little bit more from there in the coming meeting. Turning to China. China's really is an odd man out. In 2023, the story is everybody's getting worried about slowing economic activity in major economies. And the IMF, for example, has been downgrading its global growth forecasts and has been downgrading most major economies. The exception to that is China. China's going in exactly the opposite direction. It's an accelerating economy this year. It will be one of the big contributors to global economic growth through the course of this year. It's not that it's going to get exceptionally strong growth by its own standards. It's simply that it's rebounding after all those policy U-turns that we had. The biggest one, of course, was moving away from lockdowns to control COVID. But all that battening down on property developers and some tech companies, there's policy U-turns in just about everything. And as a result, you're getting the rebound off that. And so we got their Q1 GDP came out last week, and it was pretty strong. It was up 2.2% quarter on quarter. That lifted the annual growth rate to 4.5% year on year from 2.9%. That's, we're going to get no other major economy which will show that sort of strength running through its Q1 GDP, and it's accelerating through the course of this year. We got some March economic readings too. And the only one that came back a bit was fixed asset investment spending. That came out to 5.1% year on year from 5.5%. Industrial production actually accelerated to 3% from 2.4%. But the really big one was retail sales. And retail sales lifted much more than expected to 10.6% year on year from 3.5% year on year. So, given their freedoms, the Chinese are doing what everybody else did once they became free of restriction. They're going out and spending like there's no tomorrow. And we're seeing that running through retail sales. It's pretty promising as far as China's concerned. We've got nothing of note coming out of China this week. And then moving to Australia. Last week, I suppose the big event was the report that went to the Treasurer about the Reserve Bank. And, obviously we're going to get some changes in the way in which the Reserve Bank operates. The key one is, the splitting of some of the functions so that you have a separate interest rate setting policy meeting to all the other functions of the Reserve Bank. Also, that policy meetings are going to be less regular. At the moment, we get them monthly, other than in January when we get a break. It probably is going to go to 6 weeks. We don't know yet. That's still got to be finalised. the new committee with all of its people with supposed economic knowledge on it. We've still got to see the makeup of that. Nothing will change for the next meeting. You know, the next meeting is still coming up first Tuesday of May. But what this does imply is that there'll be a bit more of a gap between meetings. You know, if the Reserve Bank needs to keep tightening policy, you're less likely to get quarters, more likely to get halves in that. But ultimately, the key thing in the changes is that there's no change to the inflation target. So the inflation target remains at 2-3%. So it still implies that, you know, we're going to be getting to the same peak we would without these changes in the cash rate, and that the outlook is not going to be overly different. And leading into that outlook for the next policy meeting, we've got the CPI coming out this week for the first quarter. And it looks as if it'll be up around about 1.3% quarter on quarter. That's down from 1.9% the quarter before. It will bring the annual inflation rate down to 6.9% from 7.8%. But the two underlyings are still very, very high. And so the trim mean weighted medians, which are the underlying inflation rates, still look as if they're going to be quite strong. The trim mean up 1.4%, we think, quarter on quarter, weighted median up 1.3%. That would mean that the trim mean would only come back from 6.9% year on year to 6.7%, and the weighted median would actually go up from 5.8% to 6%. Now, these underlying inflation rates are a sort of guide to where the headline's going. And the headline's only going to be coming down very, very slowly as we go further through this year. And it's going to take a long time to get back to the Reserve Bank's 2-3% target. And this is where, you know, it just leaves pressure there for the Reserve Bank to tighten interest rates more, regardless of whether it's the current board system or whether it's the new committee of economic specialists who are setting the rates going a little bit further forward. So still pretty high probability that when we get to the first Tuesday of May, we're going to need a return to monetary tightening, and we're probably going to get 25 basis points, which would take the cash rate to 3.85%, but it's not until the first Tuesday of May that that'll come through. We get a little bit of other data comes out. We've got export prices coming out for the first quarter this week. That CPI comes out on Wednesday, by the way. Got Anzac Day, of course, on Tuesday, and then Wednesday we'll get the CPI comes out, key figure this week. On Thursday, we get export prices and import prices for the first quarter. Export prices have actually been falling a bit because we've had some pullback in some commodity prices, so they're likely to be down about 3-ish% quarter on quarter. Import prices, though, the other direction, the Australian dollar's been softer. There's been some rebounds running through petrol prices. The import prices were up 1.8% quarter on quarter going back to Q4 last year, probably up about 0.5-0.6% for the current quarter. And then on Friday, we get the producer price index coming out for Australia for the first quarter, and we also get private sector credit readings for the month of March. As far as the producer price index is concerned, that's probably going to be up again around 0.5%, and that will, you know, leave year-on-year well above 5% year-on-year for producer prices. So, you know, we've still got a bit of inflation in the pipeline. Private sector credit, housing credit particularly is a weird one. You know, we've had all these anecdotes about how house prices are bottoming. What we haven't had, though, is any signs in the credit figures that, you know, credit's not falling. And that's including the leading indicators of credit, where people are taking out those loans. The only loans that are really sort of motoring are refinancing. So it's just, it looks a bit like a phony war in housing at the moment. You know, you've got a little bit of stability and some increases in prices in some areas, but the money that people are borrowing to get into housing is still falling. So that suggests that, you know, this is a bit of a false dawn, these prices that are going up, and that we've got, you know, everybody's trying to rationalise why they're going up. As, oh, yeah, we've got plenty of immigration. It's all going to start to go in the opposite direction. But it just doesn't look that way running through the credit aggregates. So, that's where we may have a second wind downwards for these house prices before we go too much further. And it's largely coming from the tightening the further rises in interest rates, which will be coming through before long. As far as Europe's concerned, we've got we had a few indicators out last week. Europe's quite strange. We had the February trade balance came out, and it is one of the quirks in the global economy at the moment, that international trade seems to be performing a lot better than you would expect for economies which supposedly are slowing. We've seen it in some of the most trade-sensitive economies in the world. We had a really strong export figure out of Singapore going back a week or so back, which is the most trade-oriented economy on the face of the planet. And it's just not that consistent with too much slowing running through global economic growth. Well, Europe, we got a similar sort of picture. We got the February trade balance came out. The market was expecting that this should have been a deficit of 22.3 billion euro. It was a deficit of 30.6 billion euro going back to January. You'd expect that trade should be soft. It rebounded strongly, and they ended up with a trade surplus of 4.6 billion euro, largely driven by exports. That doesn't make sense in a world that's supposed to be slowing, and so we've just got this quirk. If this is any sort of indicator that things are not as soft as everybody expects in many economies, boy, have we got some reassessment to go on how high interest rates have got to go. So just watching this one with some care, it's just not consistent with the general story that's doing the rounds at the moment. Part of the explained, I think, by what's happening through purchasing managers' indices, all the way around the world, manufacturing is softening, but it's not unduly soft. Services sector is actually holding up very well, and we saw that with the European indicators last week. We had the April manufacturing purchasing managers' index. It did come down to 45.5 from 47.3. It's below the expansion contraction line at 50. But it's not getting down into the low 40s and the high 30s where you'd expect it would be if there's a recession coming. On the other hand, the services sector PMI came out, and this is not in any sort of weak state at all. It was at 55.0 going back to the month of March. In April, it jumps to 56.6. That's getting up towards record highs for the service sector PMI for Europe. So the services areas look really strong. And this, of course, is keeping employment very, very tight. So just looking at Europe this week and some of the other factors, it's same story on inflation there too. Inflation's coming down, but not enough. In continental Europe, you've got inflation which is still sitting in the fives and sixes. Actually, in the UK, you've still got an inflation rate which is above 10%. It's these which are just causing some difficulty with how we should be viewing what may happen with interest rates as we go ahead. And Europe this week, we don't get a lot more data. We've got April business and consumer sentiment. If anything, that will probably lift a bit to 99.9 from 99.3. And we get Q1 GDP coming out on Friday. And at this stage, it looks as if nothing like China, where Chinese growth went up 2.2% quarter on quarter. This will probably be up 0.2% quarter on quarter. But that will still leave annual GDP growth, while declining, it's still up 1.4%. So you're nowhere near a recession yet, even in Europe. So just watching all these indicators as we go through, it's getting very, very quirky at the moment, and it's not quite what most people are thinking, which is that global economic growth, and particularly IMF last week, came out with much weaker forecasts for global economic growth going forward. If that's true, we shouldn't be seeing what we're seeing running through trade figures around the world. And so just watching that and what it may mean for what we may have to do in terms of interest rate forecasts a bit further down the track.